And we're live with a tape delay here on
From the Shrine Auditorium.
Yeah, Siskel and Ebert couldn't be here, so it's
Kyle
Richards.
Because they're fucking dead.
They are dead. They're very dead.
Yeah, how about that? We live in a world where Siskel and Ebert are dead. There's going to be whole generations that don't know what two thumbs up means.
Yeah, they'll have no idea. They'll have no clue.
It's kind of sad. It's really sad.
But they can still visit his, Ebert's website? It's still really pretentious, so.
Well, he has, like, the most biggest assholes being the reviewers for his channel.
It's just awful. I mean, they're just gross.
Are they really? I haven't read it. I don't go to that site.
Well, the one thing I hate is whenever they pick their top 10, it's always 10 movies you've never heard of.
Right.
I mean, never. And one might be in English. One.
Yeah, right.
It's like, blow me. Find something else.
I love this Godard film, La Costa Niroca.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not impressed. All right.
This new filmmaker, you don't even know who he is because no one knows who he is because, you know, only pretentious people know who he is. His name is Gioconda.
It's like anybody could do that. It doesn't take any effort to, like, pick weird movies. You just gotta be that much of an asshole to go do it.
Exactly. Like, and sit through them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and not even that, because who's watching them? No one's watching that shit.
Well, so exactly. And if you're the type of person that, like, sits down and, like, a movie, like, let's say Dread, will probably drive you crazy. And it's like, why? It's a fun, great action movie, but you're just so above it, you can't take it? Like, what's your fucking problem?
Yeah, I don't get that mentality at all.
A movie's a movie. A good movie's a good movie, don't matter what it is.
Yeah, and this year, we'll be picking some really pretentious crap, so I'm excited.
Of course you will.
I'm excited. But
now, you told me some. They're pretty mainstream, some of them.
Yeah, I think it'll be. I want to try and keep it balanced. I don't want to have too many that are just summer blockbusters, but I don't want to forget my roots. I don't want to forget my roots.
You just saw Transformers. That's your number one. I already know that.
It is. Spoiler alert. Sorry. But yeah, Transformers number one. Bullet.
Yeah, I forgot what it was even called.
Age of Dick.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. It's
Age of Marky Mark's cock.
Yeah, because. Well, the whole plot of the movie is Marky Mark is trying to get a pardon when he punched one of those Transformers in the face.
Right. He punched the black Transformers in the face because they don't read too good.
Yeah. Yeah, he punched the Asian one.
Yeah.
And he lost his eye. And he couldn't get a new eyeball.
I punched out that fucking gook, yo. That gook robot. They're called goats. Goats.
But, yeah, so that's it's a great plot. Great movie. Classic film. Can't go wrong
with
it.
That's great, eh? What's up, dog?
I will say, though, that I don't think anybody knows that he has a new movie coming out.
Does he? I didn't even know that. What's his new movie? Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't think anybody cares. That movie is just going to disappear so fast.
Well, I mean, I really couldn't tell you what movie is going to be nominated, what's going to win at all. I really have no idea.
Well, before we get to that, let's talk about these Star Wars names.
Oh, Rilo Kiley and Peckon Poe.
Yeah, like, most of these I don't care. Like, Finn, I think, is fine. Rey is fine. I kind of like that Kylo Ren because it sounds evil, but it sounds like a name. As far as, like, Star Wars goes, it kind of works.
Right, yeah.
I think Poe is the one I got the biggest flack with because it's like, who? I mean, come on, Poe. This is your big hero. I hope he dies.
Three letters, like Han. That's what I'm saying.
And the ball droid is BB-8.
Sure.
And as like in Dark Horizons, he speculates that maybe it means it's like short for Brian Burke.
Brian Burke.
He's an Abrams producer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he works on all that shit.
Oh, wow, it's so deliciously inside.
I know, isn't it? Woo!
It's pretty good.
Overall, I don't care too much either way, but the Poe thing is just kind of annoying. It reminds me of, like, Edgar Allan Poe, too. I don't know. I don't know if that's good
or bad. Well, that's pretty obvious.
Thanks. Thanks. So is your static. Sheesh.
I know. I don't know what the hell's going on. Yeah. I think I got angry and I hit my microphone.
And the other day, we both watched The Babadook.
The Babadook, Mom!
So we'll
get away from
that.
The closet! He's coming out of my closet, Mom!
It's an Australian film.
Obviously!
No, because your accent failed, Richard. Just
oh, that's fucked up.
Just failed.
What are you talking about? I've got the Babadook coming after me! I'm gonna run away!
And I believe it's from a first-time director, a woman.
A chick of all things.
Jennifer Kent.
Oh, she did a hell of a job. Knocked out of the park. It's a great movie. The Babadook, Ma!
Terrific movie. I really enjoyed it. Caught it on VOD. I'm not going to the theater for this one.
Well, I couldn't. It's not playing where I live.
You know, yeah, I just noticed it's actually playing at the NoHo 7, so...
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, like this weekend it starts, but it's like, oh, cool. I already saw it.
You already saw it. You're ahead of the game. You're like those Roger Ebert reviewers. You've already seen it and loved it.
Yeah, I'm that asshole.
Yep, you are.
But I don't know if it's really easy to sum up the movie. I guess it's just a single mom, widowed, and this book pops up, and...
The Babadook!
Yeah, and it sort of ends up bringing about this creature, the supernatural element, into their house, and things kind of go downhill from there. But I like that a lot of it was psychological. What?
It's good shit.
Yeah, I like that a lot of it was psychological. That I thought was really, really well done. And I thought, you know, they didn't really have a lot of effects, but they were used well when they did end up popping up in the movie.
Yeah. Well, they're effective.
No, yeah, like the stop motion stuff was really cool.
Yeah.
And and even when, you know, you wouldn't see the monster, but they play with the light to kind of suggest that it was there. That,
yeah,
stuff was cool. And then also not a big spoiler, I don't think, but using the her dead husband to I guess be like a representation of the creature in certain points.
Yeah.
Was another nice touch, because you didn't have to have the creature there, but you could have this guy as a, I don't know, stand-in or like another manifestation of the same thing.
Yeah.
Kind of popping up.
And I liked how they used him. He's just like, bring me the boy. And then his voice, bring me the boy. They played with the audio very successfully, I think. It was very effective. Like little things were good. But the problem was they had that stock monster sound, which they overused a bit. That's probably my only complaint of the movie. That roar! Remember that high-pitched one?
Yeah, they had that a few times, yeah.
It's like the generic sound effect for like a monster. So I was just like, oh, that's kind of cheap, but that's fine. Like, they should have designed that a bit better. But, you know, it's a chick. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do with them chick directors, man? Hey, brah.
But I did like, also, I felt like it they had a lot of claustrophobia to it, especially even in the car scene when she's driving with the kid and he's screaming.
Yes.
For the car accident, I liked a lot of that.
And the Babadook was on top of the car.
Yeah, and I like how everything, a lot of the monsters imply.
Babadook.
And well, I thought those two were great, the mom and the son.
Oh, the acting's fantastic.
Yeah, they really did well.
The kid knocks out of the park. You kind of don't like the kid for a minute there. He's so aggravating.
No, but I feel like that was part of the point, though.
Right.
It was like, you know, kids aren't always easy to deal with. Even
exactly.
If they're
known. Well, even the movie makes a good point. Like, every time... Like, even when they go out, they're always surrounded by loud, bratty kids. Like, wherever you go with these characters where there's kids, they act like brats.
Yeah, like, her sister's kid is a bitch, too.
A bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She well, deserved that broken nose.
Your daddy killed it and died because you weren't good enough to have a dad.
It's like, ouch.
That was pretty low, you little bitch.
Yeah, it's like, eat you dirt.
You don't have your dad because you're not good enough to have a dad. And the Babadook was played by Rebel Wilson.
It's too thin. Too thin.
Too thin. Too thin. Right. Too thin. Oh my god, I can't get out of the car! I'm so big, I can't get out of the car! I don't even know what accent that is.
Yeah, I don't either.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's fun.
But I thought, despite... like, it was odd, because I thought... I couldn't tell, like... Is it her apathy that lets him have all that crap? Like, his weapons?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Well, like, the fact that she isn't... Is it her apathy towards him that allows him to have those weapons? Or is it...
Just he just like makes the weapons.
Or is it just sort of like a plot point for the movie they had to have?
Well, I don't know if it's a plot point, because really, in all honesty, they're not effective at all. They don't do anything. The weapons are really just to show that he's kind of a kooky kid.
Well, like, but there is that one point where he uses them to trap her at the end of the movie.
Well, he just... The rope's the only thing that really stops her.
But I still feel like... That's an extension of the weapons. Like, if he doesn't make sure. The weapons, he's not making rope.
I was just thinking it's the homage to Nightmare on Elm Street. I think there's a lot of the director Jennifer. I think Kent. Her name was Kent.
Yeah,
Jennifer Kent. I think what she did was she saw the best horror movies and what elements from the best horror movies could you put into this movie that were like the cheapest to do. And, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street has the whole booby trap sequence where Freddy comes and she uses the booby traps to stop Freddy at the end. That was very reminiscent of Nightmare on Elm Street. The sound effects are very reminiscent of sort of The Ring and Mama to a degree. Sort of the newer horror movies that have been coming out, sound design-wise.
Well, it's better than Mama by a long shot.
Oh, it's way better. Like I said, it's a very successful horror movie. I think it's one of the better horror movies the last 20 years. I really can't think of anything else that comes close to it being as good.
And it reminded me a lot, too, of The Shining.
Well, that's the other thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, it borrows from The Shining with the whole Jack Nicholson going crazy element, going after the kid. She channels that madness. She channels The Exorcist with her body movements a bit. They have like that element to it. Yeah, there's because she is possessed by the Babadook. Spoiler. Well, like
her physical acting, I thought was terrific. I mean that.
Oh yeah, very good.
I mean, she's not just good at emoting, but also I thought that like that physical change that she goes through was very visual. It's not as though. She just kind of kept feeding her lines and being more angry. You could really see kind of this, like, this contorting that went on with her as she got more and more possessed and more crazy.
Well, and she was starting to fall apart physically, a la The Fly.
Yeah.
So then she was borrowing elements of that also. And there's another horror movie I'm trying to remember where, like, the teeth get pulled out. Like, maybe it's Affliction. Because I think in Affliction... Nick Nolte, he has a toothache and he pulls out his tooth in the movie and it sort of is an illustration of his madness. And I think that tooth decay motif means something psychologically.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of movies always kind of deal with teeth. Like you always have a scene with the guy pulling out his own tooth. It's like it's like madness. It's kind of pointing the way toward a psychosis that is paranoid, delusional, and absolutely crazy, like out of her mind nuts. So I think that's kind of what they were going for, I'm assuming.
Right, yeah, I could, yeah.
It's just a familiar trope.
I'd buy into that, yeah.
And I love the scene where she's looking out the window, and she's looking into the Parkinson woman,
house,
and Babadook's in the house with her. That was pretty cool. Yeah, those little things.
It was a nice little jump scare. They didn't have too many of those, though.
No, I mean, it's not even a jump scare. It's just standing there. It's almost subliminal. Like, if you weren't looking in the right place, you might not even notice it.
No, I call it more of a jump scare because they cut to the woman.
Yeah.
Not there. Then they cut back to her and she's there.
Yeah.
I call it a jump scare. But, I mean,
the Babadook is in the house, Mama!
But that was still an element I don't think they relied heavily on. I mean, the scares were always, I wouldn't say broadcast, but they were integral to every scene. So it wasn't as if they just popped in and out. Like, there was build up to everything.
Oh, we gotta talk about the vibrator scene.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, that's why she snapped, because she couldn't masturbate.
She couldn't get off. She couldn't juice herself.
Yeah, so she was just upset.
Yep. That's the problem. Woman's got a juice.
Yeah, it's the end of it.
Because she probably hadn't had a good dicking in a long time.
But that was another question I had, too. Is she not seeing people on purpose, or are they not interested? Because it seemed like the nurse, like her coworker, was interested.
Yeah.
But then it's like, but she seems lonely, so I'm just wondering, is it like her own choice?
I would say.
She's depressed?
Yeah, I would say that's probably what's going on.
Okay.
I would agree with that, because she's just in this utter, well, I think it's also about grief. So.
Oh, well, yeah.
The whole point of it, she's just, yes. Yeah, she's trapped in that grief. She hasn't been able to let go. And the boy is a constant reminder of what she lost. So I think that's probably more the reason why she doesn't date. She's just constantly reminded of her husband because she sees him.
Right.
But I thought they were going to go real dark at the end, and she was actually going to go through and kill him.
I was really wondering what would happen, yeah, because I wasn't sure.
But I thought, like, at first I thought it was going to be a... more of a psychological thriller, meaning that it was all in her head, and she kills the kid by drugging him, like he overdoses on that sleep aid.
Right.
I thought that's where they were going at first, and then it would just be like she's just going crazy because the grief is just too much.
Well, I do think it was all in her head, but it was...
Well, I don't think it's in her head, because then at the end of the movie, there's too many mystical elements that take place.
Well, I just feel like the creature is like a representation of her emotional state, so...
Sure, but...
So that's never going to leave her, it's always a part of her.
Right, yeah, I get that.
And it was just like her confronting it finally.
Sure, but in the movie, it's very much, it's not in her head, it's an actual reality. This is a supernatural force that she's made peace.
I guess, yeah.
Because at the end of the movie, he also has magical powers.
The kid. The card thing? Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, he makes a bird materialize out of a quarter. So.
Hey, magicians do that all the time.
Asshole. There's no, that was completely to inject some supernatural shit. Like, he's got maybe. Like, I'd like to see, actually, honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing a remake of this.
Well, she owns the rights, and so supposedly she has no interest in, like, making a sequel or any other material from this, like...
Well, I don't know if I'd make a sequel, but I would make a, well, actually, a sequel would be interesting, because I'd like to see more of the Babadook. Like, where does the book come... Like, again, it's such an awful studio note. Where does the book come from?
Well, I think there were hints that she had created it herself.
Really?
Well, because in the scene in the police station, she has, like, chalk on her hands.
Well, that's because she burnt it.
Well, you wouldn't have chalk on your hand. I mean, I think the idea, it's implied there that she may have drawn it herself.
Well, right. Then again, like I said, I thought that was the idea that they're going for, but then, no, it becomes really a supernatural horror movie.
Well, but then there was, at the birthday party, they referenced that she used to draw children's books or, like, write them.
Right, yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that's all kind of hints that she may have done it herself.
Right.
But again, I think you are right, though. There's that fine line of, like, where her own psychosis ends and where does the real horror begin kind of thing, so.
Well, wasn't there another movie that just came out recently that had the same problems? Oh, Birdman. It's like Birdman.
Yeah, there was a little bit of that too. Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah,
because you don't. It's like they're trying to have both. They're trying to have it both ways, and I don't think that works. I think that hurts the movie more, because the more you think about it, the more you're just like, well, wait a minute, make a decision. It feels like you didn't know what to do, so you just kind of left it open-ended, which is just a cheater's way of dealing with it.
Right, right. No,
like, have the balls to go, you know what, it was all in her head, or it was a real supernatural monster.
Right, because I do think they kind of walked the line a little bit.
Yeah. That.
So. But no, overall, I really enjoyed it. It wasn't a movie that was truly scary.
It was a good movie.
But it was still a good movie. I think.
Yeah.
I think its emotional core is what really hooks you.
The music was really good, too. I like the score. The music was very well done. Very creepy.
I thought it was funny, too. I mean, I had read she was trying to make it as, like, non-Australian as possible, so I kind of get the lack of accents on the TV. But yeah. I did think it was funny that there weren't a lot of, like, Australian accents on the TV. It was all, like, more American films.
The problem that I had was she found this movie channel, because every other click of a channel was a silent movie.
Yeah, it's like she knows her stations pretty well.
Yeah. All of these silent movies they made. The Babadook is a representation of the Cabinet of Caligari. Well, we talked about German expressionism stuff, mate.
Definitely a movie I'd recommend, though, and I'll probably be in my top 10.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it was very well done. Very well done. So, and I watched it with 3 hours to go on your Amazon.
Oh, really?
It was like, I was like, oh, shit, because I forgot. I was like, well, I should want to watch something, but I don't know. Oh, yeah, Babadook, it's on there.
Yeah.
So I just plugged in your info and took me to town.
God bless you. You bought all that porn with it, so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I try. And speaking of that, I tried to watch the Knights of Badassdom premiered on Netflix. I guess.
Oh, did it?
I tried to watch that, and I couldn't get through 15 minutes.
Was it a bad connection, or just a bad movie?
A bad movie.
What was wrong with it?
It turned into like the stoner movie, and I was just like, "Oh, this is what this is going to be. I'm not interested."
That is pretty good.
I thought it was funnier. It just was a lot of. It was pretty lame. It just wasn't interesting. I like Peter Dinklage. He was fun, but he wasn't in it enough. It was like the focusing on the hackneyed guy breaks up with his girlfriend storyline because he won't grow up storyline.
Oh, another one of those?
Oh, yeah, it's just like, okay, I've seen this, been here, done this, and I've seen it better. And it wasn't that funny. Like, nothing really funny happened. Yeah, like, I was waiting for the funny stuff to start, and it just did not happen.
Did you see Peter Dinklage get killed, or was that...
No. Far? Well, he does die?
Yeah, yeah.
He does?
Spoiler alert! Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Did you see it?
No.
Well, then how do you know?
Because in the trailer, you see, like, his head is cut off, or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, isn't this like it's not the right version because they're never going to release the right version? Isn't that the thing that the director's cut is way better, I guess, than the cut that they have on Netflix?
Supposedly. I don't know. I don't even care. I'll probably never see it, so I'm all
right. No, don't even bother. Like I said, it's just I was like, okay.
It's one of those overhyped movies about how great it was, and then it turns out it sucks.
Well, it turns out you find out why nobody wanted anything to do with it. It's like, oh, this is why it was on a shelf for like 2 years. It's not very good. It's not really worth the effort.
Right. Well, but, you know what else isn't worth the effort, Richard? The 2015 Golden Globe nominations.
You mean 2014?
Well, but they win next year, though. So it's
yeah, but I mean, that doesn't count. It's for 2014. I don't like saying it's next year because next year is next year.
Fine, fine, fine. Well... First of all, no nominations for the what the hell is that?
Unbroken.
Okay, fine, yeah. All right, Unbroken. No nominations for the Rubber Baby in American Sniper.
It's Best Supporting Baby.
Yep, gotta love Rubber Baby. But you do have, let's see, try to make this quick here. I'm back to movies. But Best Picture Drama, Boyhood.
Boo.
Yeah, Foxcatcher, I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Imitation Game, not surprised. Selma, that's a shoo-in. And Theory of Everything.
Boo.
I mean, it's just like, man, like, all of these biopics, because, I mean...
Well, that just shows you how bad of a year it was.
Biopics or historical dramas. Or yeah. Both. I mean, who's opening the door over there, Richard? Come on, let's...
It's the Babadook!
Quiet on the set. Quiet on the set.
It's the Babadook. He's trying to get me. Help me. He's trying to possess me and kill me in my sleep.
All right, now best picture. Comedy. You got Birdman.
See, this is where the Golden Globes make no sense.
I don't get it. But
they have two separate best picture categories. And the first set, the drama ones are all crap. And the comedy ones are actually pretty good. Because you got Grand Budapest and Birdman.
And you got Into the Woods.
Man. Boo.
Pride, which I still haven't seen.
What the hell is Pride?
It's a movie with Imelda Staunton about British coal miners who are helped by this
boring.
By this gay group to, like, I don't know, keep their mind open or whatever.
God, boo! I've seen that movie. It was called The Full Monty. Or Big Brass, that one about the band with Ewan McGregor. Yeah. Or Kinky Boots, or what other British film about gays and straights coming together and, like, solving a problem. It's just so boring. I've seen it a million times.
And St. Vincent. St.
Vincent. Yeah, that's odd. That's not that good.
So let's see. Out of all those, I don't know. I mean, Boyhood has a lot of momentum. People seem to like Imitation Game.
No.
Selma's still catching on.
So Selma was nominated for Best Dramatic Picture?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, Selma will win.
Yeah, I'd say either Boyhood or Selma. Kind of depends on where they're at with momentum.
It'll be Selma, and it'll be either Birdman or Grand Budapest. I would prefer Grand Budapest.
I think you're right, yeah. Okay, so animated feature, Big Hero 6.
Why?
I liked it, but it's a middle-of-the-road movie. It's good. It's not great. It's for kids. The Book of Life, didn't see it.
No.
Box Trolls, didn't see it.
What?
Have you even heard these yet, or am I just...
No, I did, but I'm just saying what, because these movies suck.
How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Wow.
Which I did like a lot, but that's a dark
movie. No, Lego movie?
And the Lego movie.
Oh, there you go.
Lego movie's going to win.
All the way.
Yeah, it wins. Best foreign film, I'm going to skip that one.
Though technically, I think Force Majeure is going to take everything.
Probably. That seems to be the one with a lot of name Buzz. Brand recognition at this point.
Yeah. I think because it's a comedy and it's a Swiss and it's about family.
It's a light movie. It's not too heavy.
Yeah, I think that'll definitely take it. Because I haven't heard any other foreign film titles other than that one. Everybody brings that one up, so I think that's going to be the only one. Because every time you bring up a foreign film, it's usually the one that everybody talks about because nobody actually watches the foreign film who votes.
Nobody does, no.
Yeah, especially with the Oscars. That's why the Oscars are so easy to figure out. I win every single fucking cash Oscar pool that I ever do.
I never win. I must be an idiot.
You always go with the obvious choice. That's what your deal is.
Okay. It's what I do, you mean?
Yeah, that's strategy. You go for the obvious choice.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Okay, so best actor drama. You got Steve Carell.
You don't like that one, huh?
People laugh during it. I mean, not during the movie, but during his performance. I just don't see it now. Cumberbatch, didn't see it, don't care. Jake Gyllenhaal, Nightcrawler, great. David Oyelowo, I'm curious about. And Eddie Redmayne, nah, whatever.
Yeah.
Out of all those, I'd say... I mean, David Oyelowo, I think, has an outside shot.
No, I think Cumberbatch. He's too popular right now.
I think Cumberbatch probably the first.
Yeah.
And then, like, Jake or David somewhere a little bit lower. But they won't win.
No, it'll be Cumberbatch.
Best Performance Actress, Jennifer Aniston.
Nope.
Felicity Jones.
No.
No, come on. No. Julianne Moore, probably.
Yeah.
Rosamund Pike and Reese Witherspoon.
See, that's the thing with the Golden Globes. They go for the more popular pick, so it might be Rosamund Pike. They might go with Gone Girl.
But it is surprising, then, that they didn't nominate Angelina at all.
Well, like I said, Unbroken is never going to make anything. They're trying to turn this movie into this giant epic Oscar winner, and it's just not going to happen.
Oh no, I don't think you're wrong. But yeah. The Golden Globe people, they're all whores, the foreign press.
Oh, big time. That just shows you how right I am. Even the whores don't want to touch it.
Oh no, I think you're right.
It's like a diseased, uncircumcised penis.
Okay, so let's look at let's move on.
And is it a face called it's called Unbroken. Get it?
Oh hey. All right. So let's move on to actor in a comedy. You got Ralph Fiennes.
I
hope should win. Yeah, he was good. Michael Keaton probably will win.
Michael Keaton will probably win. Yeah.
Bill Murray, Joaquin Phoenix, Christoph Waltz.
Waltz?
For Big Eyes, that Tim Burton.
Oh, God. Yeah, whatever that means.
I know.
Jesus.
I don't disagree. I don't get it, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
It's like, if you nominate him for this movie, then by all rights, he needs to be nominated for every movie he's in, because it's the same character, just a different movie. It's like, there's nothing, there's no intricacies to his performance. It's the same thing every time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to guess Michael Keaton will win. I'd rather Ralph Fiennes win, but whatever, it's fine.
Yeah.
Let's see. Actress in a comedy, Amy Adams, Emily Blunt, Helen Mirren, Julianne Moore for Map to the Stars, so she won't win. Okay, and then Quinn Zoll, whatever the fuck her name is.
For Annie. Who?
The what? Annie girl, yeah.
Oh, good lord.
I know.
Ugh.
I don't know. I don't really know. Maybe Helen Mirren or Amy Adams. Amy Adams will probably win.
I don't think so. It'll probably be Emily Blunt.
I'll go Amy Adams. That's my pick. Okay.
Or it'll probably be Julianne Moore. She'll win both of them.
Oh, if dreams come true, Richard. Best performance, supporting actor, Robert Duvall. It's a joke. Ethan Hawke, Edward Norton, Mark Ruffalo, J.K. Simmons. Ethan Hawke hasn't really won a lot, so I go with J.K. Simmons.
I thought you were going to say Ethan Hawke.
No.
See, I'll say Ethan Hawke. I think he's a Golden Globe dude.
But, like, Patricia Arquette's the one with all the buzz. He hasn't gotten a lot. He's just kind of in the background.
Yeah, but it's the Globes.
J.K., he's pretty hot right now.
No, they don't know who he is.
He's a guy from Spider-Man. Come on.
Ethan Hawke's got way more international cred than that guy.
I mean, I'd rather Ethan Hawke win because it's the Hawk. But
who's the other guys?
You got Edward Norton won't win.
No.
Mark Ruffalo won't win. And Robert Duvall, too old. He won't win.
No, I bet you they give it to Robert Duvall. Because why would they even nominate that movie?
It is pretty garbage. I'll give you
so
that.
So it's just, it's an obvious Robert Duvall. Give it to him because he's Robert Duvall.
And then let's see. Best Performance Actress supporting Patricia Arquette. She'll win. Jessica Chastain, Keira Knightley, Emma Stone, Meryl Streep. Yeah,
he'll probably end up being Emma Stone.
Gosh, why, Richard? Why?
Because the Globes. Always go against the gut on the Globes because that's how they make their decisions.
Okay, fine.
And it's always the most random shit. Like, that's why I'm... for TV show, it'll be either Transparent or Orange is the New Black. It's between those two. Because it's the newest show. They always pick the new show for best series.
Well, hopefully Girls doesn't win.
No, it already won. It won the first year.
Oh, dear Lord.
It's like I said, they only ever give the Globe to the newest show. It happens every fucking year.
Well, then it's Transparent.
Exactly.
Orange is the New Black has been on.
That's true.
But let's not get too lost here. So, best director, Wes Anderson.
I wish, but it'll never happen.
Ava DuVernay, whatever, Selma, David Fincher, Inarritu, and Richard Linklater. You tell me who wins.
Probably Linklater.
It seems like the go-to choice.
I think it's everyone's going to give Linklater. Like, Linklater is going to win the Oscar for Best Director, but not Best Picture.
That'll go to Selma.
I definitely think that, yeah. And do you think the Oscars is going to give the director Oscar to a black woman? Hell no.
No. No.
Hell no.
Amy Pascal says no. No. Yes. She puts her foot down on that.
Unless she directed Drinking Your Juice in the Hood, she doesn't know what, you know, what Selma is.
So let's see. Best screenplay. Wes Anderson, Gillian Flynn, Iñárritu. Gosh, there's like four names. Okay, Richard Linklater and Graham Moore for The Imitation Game.
The Imitation Game? No way.
I'm just because I don't... Graham Moore, I don't know who that is, so...
Oh, he's just some young lame-o.
I'm going to guess young... Gillian Flynn.
Possibly, but I'm going to go with Wes Anderson.
I would prefer, yeah.
Yeah, I would like to see Wes Anderson win, because he won't win anything else.
I guess my only concern with Budapest is just it's been out for so long. I just don't know how people... If people remember it or not.
Well, that just goes to show you that there's not much came out since Budapest that put any dent in anything.
Not at all. I won't get anything else. They're just best score.
Well, just especially when you look at all these like critic associations, like what their top 10 list and what's their best picture of the year list. It's all over the place. There's no real front runner at all. They all have a little bit of shit going. Yeah, I mean, Boyhood, I don't think will win an Oscar at all. I think it'll get nominated, but it's too fringe to win anything. I think the only reason they give to Linklater is because it took them like what 12 years to make it or 16 years to make it.
Yeah, I think right now it's just hot, but I think it'll cool down by the time Oscars
right. Around. And I think
Selma will be hot.
Selma will be on fire.
And I think
Selma will win Best Picture.
And I think Unbroken will be just gone by then.
Yeah. No, Unbroken's not going to get anything.
I really even mean just like box office wise. I think it'll be pretty cooked by then.
No, I think Oscar wise, American Sniper will take anything away from Unbroken. Anything that Unbroken will be nominated, American Sniper will get it from them. Just because the Oscars love Clint. It won't win anything, but it'll get nominated. Rubber Baby and all.
That was the most beautiful Rubber Baby I've ever seen.
Rubber Baby in the Bathwater. They'll throw it all out there.
So who do you think is the big winner at the Golden Globes?
I don't care.
Me neither.
Al-Qaeda. Because they're making their point. they're winning this war. I get it. I get why they're mad. It's just like, good God, enough of this shit. I watch the Globes just because I like to see the drunk celebrities, and that's a little bit more loose, but I don't know. I think last year's Globes was pretty shitty, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty boring. They never get much better.
And who remembers the Globes anyway? I don't even remember who won last year.
I couldn't tell you.
Oh, 12 Years a Slave, maybe? Is that what it was? Or was that 2 years ago?
Wasn't that last year?
Was it last year? I don't remember. See how little this matters in the grand scheme of things? Nobody gives a shit.
I think it won, though.
I'm pretty sure it won. I think it did.
Yeah, I don't remember, though.
Good old Lupita.
Yeah, because she's in the new Star Wars movie, right?
Yeah.
Nowhere in the trailer, I don't think.
Unless you saw her and you didn't know you saw her. Maybe she's BB-8.
Maybe.
Bloop, 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 bloop.
Let's see. When did this movie come out? 2013. So, yeah. Must have won.
Yeah. Oh, The Hobbit opened strong internationally with $11.3 million.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
You're going to go see that tomorrow night, right?
No, I saw it last night.
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's talk about that.
Oh, okay. If you want.
How is it? Is it awful?
It's long. Even though it's like 2 hours and 17 minutes, it still feels long.
Oh, wow.
Because there's several storylines that they start, but they never wrap up.
Mm.
So you just know like the deleted scenes or like the extended version is going to be another hour.
Right.
Because that Wormtongue replacement has a whole subplot, and it just
who?
Ends. There's like the guy that's like Wormtongue in the city.
The Lake Town guy?
Yeah, like the little dweeb.
Oh, he's more in it?
Oh, yeah. He gets like a subplot. Like he's heavily featured.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
He's, no.
And then
he's the least interesting.
And then all of a sudden he disappears, and that's it.
Oh, God.
And yeah, there's just like subplots that go nowhere, and the dragon dies very quickly.
See, I don't like that. That sucks. You might as well just make the ending of the second movie that.
Because, yeah, he doesn't make it to the title card.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. He goes very, very, very fast.
Out of a 2 hour and 20 minute movie.
He's in it less than like 10 minutes probably.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just kill him in the last movie, make it a climax, because it was so anticlimactic and just pointless to make that a cliffhanger.
Yeah, I mean it already had the momentum going for it, so it'll never feel very, I don't know, climactic, I guess, because you don't have that momentum starting the movie. It really starts right with that, with him attacking Lake Town or whatever. And there's a whole subplot with Thorin and the, what is it, like the dragon sickness, they call it. I guess it's really just like greed.
Dragon sickness. Oh.
Well, he's obsessed with like gold.
Oh.
And that goes on for way too long.
Oh, you mean the Jew disease?
Well, they don't call it that in the movie, but
yeah, they do. They call it dwarfism. They call it Judaism,
and that's the problem.
I think this is a metaphor for anti-Semitism.
Well, and that's another problem I had too, was the they have a dwarf army, but it looks so much like the orc army that there were a lot of times when I couldn't tell who was fighting who, and it had no bearing on me at all. I didn't really care.
Was it like? Bored. Was it fun, or was it just, 45 minutes long, you know?
Yeah, there were a lot of, like, little action beats that featured none of the main characters that I just felt so needless. They're just there. And I was just like, you know, this movie's already so long, you could cut this stuff out.
Does it end with Ian Holm again?
Yeah, but what I liked about that is that it's incredibly brief. So he's there, but he's gone in a flash. So it's not one of those endings where it's like, this is what you thought happened in Fellowship, but this is what really happened. It's just like, it ends. It's just, that's it. And I thought that was kind of nice. So it wasn't too dragged out.
Well, just wait for the extended one.
I know. But there are some like really bad references. Like, spoiler alert, like, who was it? Legolas gets like the mission to go meet up with this guy named Strider in the movie.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, it's like groan.
Oh, groan
inducing. And also, Legolas does so much shit in this movie. Oh my gosh.
Oh, they still. Oh, God, he's a major part of it?
I mean, he is insane in this movie. There's one point where there's all these bats, and I kept thinking, okay. He's gonna like run up these bats. He's
no.
got to.
No.
And then he doesn't. He doesn't.
Oh.
But he still shoots one, and then he kind of, or like he hangs onto one. He like grabs onto it, and it like takes them all over the place. And then later he is literally running on falling bricks. It's so good. It's good.
It's like, wow, why didn't he do that shit in Casa Doom?
Well, it's the same thing, like, why R2-D2 could never fly in the original trilogy.
Right, like, yeah, it's just like, dumb shit. God, it's annoying.
Yeah, it was... No, and then, like, the Evangel Lily character, I can't say her name. Like,
yeah.
She goes nowhere in this movie. She has nothing to do.
Does she die?
No.
What do you mean, no?
Yeah, she doesn't die.
Well, what's the fucking point of her character?
And then the ending is just like, bye. And that's it. It's like,
what? Because Kylie dies, right?
Yeah, Keely dies, and his brother
Thorin dies.
Yeah.
Is that like emotional or no?
When who dies?
Thorin.
No, I laughed.
Does he get killed by the big CGI monster?
Yeah, because what was funny was, like, he has this nice emotional moment with Bilbo, and then you think, okay, he's dead. And then all of a sudden, he has this, like, last gasp. It's like, it's like, oh, he's going to give, like, one more speech.
Oh, no.
But then it's like, no, he just dies. And it's like, oh. Well, that was...
Wait, what? Like, he kills the big albino orc.
Right.
But he also dies doing it. Like, right? Is that what's going on?
Right, but, he, like, Bilbo meets up with him as he's, like, dying.
Oh.
He gives this, like, speech. And you think he's gone, but then he gets, like, this one death rattle.
Oh!
It's like, what's the point?
It's the Babadook!
Yeah, really.
I'm gonna fight the Babadook once and for all.
And then, like, the fifth army, there's, like, no point to the second orc army.
Wait, I thought the orc army was one of them.
Well, as far as the movie's concerned, I haven't read the book in a while, but...
In the book, it's men.
Right.
It's the orcs.
Right.
It's the dwarfs, it's right. The elves, and it's the eagles.
Well, yeah, the eagles were there, but I've never felt like they were really an army. They're more of just like a group of eagles.
But that's one of the five armies.
I guess. It didn't feel like it to me.
Oh, God.
I mean, I get your point, though, but it's like there's like maybe 10 of them. I don't know.
Is it like, better than the Desolation of Smaug?
No.
Oh. No. Oh. So it's just sort of like a limp finish to, like, it's like basically the Kenyan has beaten the Hobbit, and Kenyan has already gone home back to Kenya, and this is the marathon runner that's last place, and that's what the Hobbit is to me.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of it just, I mean, I get it's fantasy, but there's just, like, so many logistical things that make no sense. Like, they bring 10,000 orcs to fight... You know, like 100, or probably more than that, maybe like 500 elves, and then like 500, whatever, dwarves,
yeah.
And then, you know, like this rabble of men who, you know, haven't eaten in days, and yet somehow they still lose. And it's just like.
Well, orcs aren't very good.
Evidently. I mean, they're the worst.
They're like stormtroopers. They're pretty useless. They don't really do anything.
Yeah, it was just. I don't know. It just felt anticlimactic the whole way because you just the outcome just felt so inevitable that it was just kind of dull.
Did you watch it in 3D or?
Yeah.
Oh God, even worse.
I liked it. It wasn't bad.
Were you watching the HPV version?
The STD version?
Oh, I'm sorry. The high frame version.
No, I don't think so. No.
No. Oh, okay. The high frame rate, which everyone thought, Peter Jackson and James Cameron thought that'd be the next step, but it ended up being a backwards backflip into oblivion.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, and the performances were good. You get Christopher Lee and Hugo Weaving for a scene.
Well, in the trailer, he pulls out a sword. Does he pull out a sword in the movie?
I think. I don't know. It's very brief.
I don't know.
Because they fight kind of the precursor to the Ringwraiths.
Oh, what?
Yeah, and it really felt like a video game.
Really?
Like you really feel like you're a step away from holding a controller and just being like,
oh,
ooh,
no.
Ooh, left, right.
So
hey,
Peter Jackson has fallen into prequelitis land with CGI.
Yeah, it was just so goofy because... It was a thing that happened when the fight was they'd kind of beat the bad guy a little bit, and he, like, these ghosts would fall off the cliff of this, like, fortress.
Hmm.
And then, because they're ghosts, they just, like, bounce back up. So it's like they keep fighting them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just felt really goofy. It was silly, and it didn't have a lot of weight. So,
well, of course, none of it's going to have any weight because none of these characters factor into the next trilogy.
Either that or they don't die. Like, they don't die at all.
Well, that her, that Evangeline Lilly not dying really disappoints me. That makes no sense. Because I guess she just, what? She just went to the fucking Grey Havens?
I thought she had more to do in the second one, so this was even, like, a step down.
Wow. She's pretty, it's just a useless, basically they needed Tit in the movie, so they put her in it.
Yeah, because she's all mopey, because she can't be with her dwarf lover. Just like, I don't care.
I don't give a shit. Like, give me a break.
And that was another thing that bothered me, too, was, like, Keeley almost dying in movie two, but then dying in the third one. It's like,
no point.
Why?
It's like
that?
No point at all.
Who cares?
There's no jeopardy at all.
No, it didn't really feel like it. That was a problem for me. It was like, Billy Connolly is another dwarf character or whatever.
Right. I read about him.
Yeah, and it's like, and he doesn't die either. And like, nobody dies. Nobody. None of the main characters get killed except the ones you already know die.
Right. Yeah.
And I get their books, but it's still like add something and kill someone that's...
Well, they already added a bunch of shit to it. It's like, if you're going to go that far, why don't you go a little further?
Yeah, because my feeling is they should have at least killed one or two dwarves in the second one.
Yeah.
And then just
make,
to give
heighten
it some...
the stakes, you know?
Yeah, like, make these orcs, like, a viable threat, not, like, a bunch of pushovers, which is all they ever were.
Yeah. They're not scary at all, and they actually look like shit because they're CGI.
Yeah, it just feels like they're like a nuisance.
Like, I don't understand. Like, they had them in makeup, and then they painted over them. I just don't understand that.
Yeah, and I don't know what the main dude looked like, but his son looked really scary. The one with like all the red and the beard. Like, he looked frightening. Like, that was like...
Well, in makeup, and then they turn him into this weird CGI toy. He looks like shit. It's disappointing. I think Peter Jackson kind of went into this like George Lucas. He feels obligated to do it because it's he can't do anything else.
Yeah,
it's like, it feels like this was a homework assignment that Peter Jackson has to finish, and he doesn't want to, but he has to do it anyway. And he already got the Best Student of the Year award. So it's like, I don't really care anymore. Just, I'll make the money. So I'm going to go very, very... I'm going to limp into this one. And I just feel like that's what happened.
No, he definitely feels... Particularly with the third one, he feels very bored. Like, none of it comes across as being very interested.
That's why I wanted Guillermo del Toro to do these movies. Because, you know, it would have been fresh blood. It would have been a new set of eyes. This one is just the tired old Peter Jackson, who, you know, who's probably flustered because King Kong wasn't the hit that he thought it would be, or
Lovely Bones didn't do anything.
Or Lovely Bones, like all the movies that he made post Rings have all failed in number of ways.
Yeah,
and like I feel bad for him, and his fucking progeny is the fucking guy that did Elysium, who's a one-trick lame-o pony, too, who needs to go away as well.
Yeah, I hope that Chappie movie just bombs.
Oh, it's going to bomb. No one's going to see that movie.
It just looks so boring.
Chappie! It's the Babadook! Shoot it, Chappie!
Just more of the same.
I'm trying to save your life, Mom! I didn't want you to die from the Chappie, Mom. Chappie and the Babadook, they're attacking the Five Armies. I'm gonna blend all these movies together.
Do you want to go to the bar and drink with the Babadook?
Well, I guess.
Why, you want to talk about?
Well, I just want to talk more about The Hobbit.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Guess we could break this in two, just make The Hobbit its own episode. Why not? It's easy.
I'll send it to you, then you can do it. I don't know.
Oh, okay. It'll never get done. This will never be released. No,
what else do you want to say?
Well, I think for me, what I thought would have been a better idea was that I thought they were going to bring Smaug the Dragon into the Battle of the Five Armies. I think that would have been more cinematic and more interesting, because you have basically three storylines, or you have like another element to it. And it's not from the book, but who gives a shit? You're already making up fucking shit, so who cares?
Right. I mean, if this was actually the book, I think
it would have been one movie.
There was some joke on the about like Legolas doing all the crazy shit, like if it was written in the book or whatever.
Yeah.
Something about like, oh, and the next Legolas grabs a shield and makes it into a skateboard, yeah, and he's like skating down and he shoots a bunch of orcs and it's totally badass. And then like it just moves on the rest of the book or whatever. It's just like,
I am J.R.R. Tolkien and I like to write about the parkour Legolas.
Oh yeah, like it's like the nth degree in this movie. It's so insane. It's just ridiculous.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, because if the skateboard scene was in one scene in the Two Towers, this whole movie is him doing that like over and over again.
Yeah.
In various ways.
What made it cool in Return of the King when he took out the Oliphant was because he didn't do shit like that in every movie.
Right, and in this one, it's all it is.
That's so disappointing. It's just annoying. Does Lee Pace die?
No.
Oh. This is face
get blood on him. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I have blood on my face.
He's good though, but he feels pretty one note in this movie after a while.
Well, yeah, because he's just kooky. He's a crazy king. That's all he is.
It's like, oh yeah, you're upset. Okay, well, whatever. And I was surprised too, because the one scene they did not feature was Bilbo getting his treasure. I mean, you see the treasure, like, chest or whatever.
Right.
But you don't see him, like, splitting it up or, like, refusing to take more. Right. I was like, my God, Peter, what happened? Are you okay? What happened?
How long is the epilogue?
Probably 10 minutes.
Is it really? Oh, God.
It's short enough. But there is one bit, though, where Bilbo and Gandalf are riding on horses.
Huh?
And it's a wide shot. And it is so evident that it's a midget on the horse. It's like, oh, not even funny.
Oh, no.
It's like so bad.
Oh, no.
It's like,
oh.
I mean, that if that's fucking Martin Freeman, then holy shit. I missed that one.
Well, back to the Smaug thing.
Yeah.
Because the whole, like, I thought the whole reason the orcs were going to the were trying to get to the Erebor was to get Smaug to join Sauron. Because if they had a dragon on their side, they'd be unbeatable.
Right.
I thought that was kind of the idea. And then to hear that goes nowhere, it's just disappointing. I think if Smaug was a big part of the Five Army battle, it would have been actually pretty cool.
No, there's like some vague idea that it's like a strategic position to have the mountain.
Really? That's boring.
Yeah, it just kind of is like nonsensical idea, because I think you're right, like if that is so important, wouldn't an army have tried before to get rid of the dragon or to team up with it? Or
well, right, like yeah. It's like, well, again, it's like this is supposed to be, what, 60 years before Lord of the Rings?
Something like that.
They all know Sauron's back now.
Right.
So they don't see him coming? Like, it's just a big surprise when the ring is around? Like, really? They didn't see this coming? Like, come on, guys. You're not very good at your job.
Gandalf knows that Bilbo has a ring.
Well, yeah, then.
And then there's also some good mustache twirling from Christopher Lee.
Really? Oh, God.
Yeah, he's like, because I think it's like Hugo Weaving is like, oh, I'll go after Sauron or whatever, and then Christopher Lee is like, no, I'll go alone or whatever.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, because in Lord of the Rings it was because he had to plant here, and that's how Sauron communicated with him.
Right, yeah, I don't...
After him. It ruins the Lord of the Rings. It ruins that story. the Hobbit trilogy. It ruins what came before, and that's a big problem.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is just it's so long.
Yeah, it's just ungodly. It's greed. It's total greed. It's Hollywood greed. It's all it is. It's the only reason why there's three of them. This could have been easily done in two movies.
Oh, easily. And short movies, too, not long ones.
No.
Like 2 hours most, max.
He turned a 300-page book into a fucking eight-hour movie.
I wonder how Warner Brothers looks back on Lord of the Rings, like if they wish they could have made more.
Oh, they do, and they'll try, don't worry.
Like, instead don't of doing,
you
like,
doubt Warner
like
Brothers.
One fellowship, if they were like, man, we should have done like three of them, three each.
Yeah. New Line, you mean?
Yeah.
When New Line was still around?
Yeah.
If like, only we made Fellowship its own trilogy. Damn it!
They're probably at least kicking themselves for not making Return of the King two movies.
Yeah, probably.
Like, this new trend, it's so hot right now.
But you know what? It doesn't work out because look at Mockingjay.
It's still going to make money.
It's still making money, but it's not making as much as the others. Because people are kind of like, well, you guys split it up into two movies. Why'd you do that? And I bet you the next one won't do as well either. Because I think they're going to release them on top of each other, and the interest is gone. I think they should have done this a year ago.
I think what works for them, I think, is that by the fourth one, it's pure profit. I mean, they're not... The fourth one is just all money.
Well, sure.
I mean, it's just coin. So.
Yeah, but remember, the Sony formula, you have to make... you make only $600 million after spending $1 billion.
Right, because what was that on? Was that on...
That was the hack, the Sony hack.
Okay. Because, yeah, Skyfall costs like... Or no, the Spectre is supposedly going to cost $300 million.
Yeah, I don't know how.
I don't either.
That's a bit ridiculous.
But I like that they got... I think it was like Andrew Scott, because he's a million less than Chiwetel Ejiofor. And it's like, if you're spending $300 million, what's another $1 million to get Chiwetel?
Like, yeah, right. I guess they don't want the black guy working.
I know. It's like, really? Really, $1 million at this point is you saving money. It's like, okay, I guess.
I guess whatever. They need to get Christoph Waltz his beard polish or whatever it's called.
He'll be so boring. I don't know. I have no interest in him at all.
I'm going to kill you, Bond. But first, I'm going to talk like this.
Yeah, so that'll be the whole movie.
I'm going to be the same character from all my other films. Hello? I'm the bad guy. I'm the villain, of course. What are you doing? I'm going to kill you now. I expect you to die. No, I don't expect you to die. I expect you to be a painful situation until you stop breathing, of course. Ugh, I don't know. I think they might be pushing a little too hard on this new Bond movie. I think Skyfall made them very arrogant.
Right, yeah.
But it's Sony has. Sony's got nothing.
And I don't know if it's true or not, but I was hearing something that it might be like Hydra in Spectre.
Right, yeah, I always read that.
Which is like, because
Quantum got destroyed by... Or Quantum got swallowed up by Spectre.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, whatever, I don't know, I don't care. Whatever. But
my one hope would be that, because they haven't done it in a while, if they have like a Bond-free opening...
Like, what other movie did that?
Well, what was it? It was in, From Russia With Love did it. What was the movie? Live and Let Die did it. There are a few others.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
Like, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
A Bond-free... It's like a villain opening with just the villains. I think that'd be kind of a cool opening.
Yeah, that'd be neat.
But probably not.
Well, it should be the opening of... it should be Spectre destroying Quantum.
Well, that's what I think. I think that'd be a great opening.
That would be good. It's
like Batista and Christoph Waltz like fucking shit up or whatever, and then...
That'd be funny.
Cue music. Like, that'd be kind of cool. I'd be down for that. I just, yeah. But yeah, I don't know how likely that'll be, but that's my preferred opening.
That's a good idea.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you. You're so kind.
I like that. I like that idea better than I like the Hobbit Battle of the Five Armies.
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah.
I will see it, but I have no desire to enjoy it.
It's definitely a non-starter. I mean, it just... it's just so dull at points. That's funny that worries me about that that Mad Max movie.
Yes.
Because from what I've heard, it's a straight two-hour chase movie.
Right.
And it's just like, really? Really? So, it's like, I can get excited for 2 minutes, but 2 hours of this? Like, I don't know. That's just a long movie.
Like, no, I'm all for it.
I'll definitely get bored at some point.
No, you can't get bored with the magic of Tom Hardy.
Well, I don't know, Richard. I mean,
just watch Locke.
I was gonna say. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen Star Trek, whatever that is, Nemesis in a long time, but yes. I got bored with that, so I don't know.
That was pretty bad, but that was not a chase scene. That was just a cheap movie.
It was also on drugs. So
that was a cheap movie with fading TV stars as pertain to be movie stars.
Did you see, what was it? Jonathan Frakes wants to direct Star Trek.
Yes, I laughed out loud when I read that.
So good.
He's no worse than Robert Orci. Actually, I think he's better than Robert Orci.
I prefer
Jonathan Frakes. I liked First Contact. I think he did a good job with that one.
Yeah, I mean, there are worse ideas. I think there are worse ideas.
The Librarian films are quite nice.
And if he's stuck with the Abrams aesthetic, I think it'd be a good movie.
But he's going to try to worm a way to get Riker in there.
Of course.
I'm back. Hello, Riker here to save the day. Number one is number one for real this time, God damn it.
Always.
Oh, well. Well, let's go to the bar and drink the memory of Jonathan Frank's career. it's mean.
He works, though.
Oh, he works all the time. Have you seen his IMDb? He directs a shit ton.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of directing. He directs, like, 40 episodes of Castle.
All right.
He works nonstop.
I'll stop it.
Oh, yeah. I thought you stopped it already.
No, not yet, no.
Oh, I'm just talking here.